Good morning. I thought we should get a popcorn machine for July. I don't know if that got voted down, but good morning. My name is Jonathan. It's great to have you guys here, especially if you're new. Welcome to Living Vine. It's an honor. Oh, it's always an honor to be up here sharing. I'm here by God's grace for sure. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. We'll get there in a minute. Happy Father's Day. Men, whatever that means to you right now, however you're dealing with that, hear me say this, let God's word feed your soul today, men. Let that be the greatest gift you receive today. And that's what I got to say about that, so let's keep moving. All right, now my parents were, and they're from Louisiana, so most summers and holidays we would spend traveling there, and no matter where my family moved, we always seemed to be about 7 hours away from them, which as a kid seems like forever. No phone, no screen, no nothing back then. So we would wake up at like 4 a.m. They would Dramamine. They would give me Dramamine. It's okay to say that? You do that. Don't act. They would put me in a sleeping bag in the back of the station wagon. Back in the day. I love the 80s. And 70s. And we would haul off to Monroe, Louisiana. I would wake up to the smell of a paper mill, which was pretty awful. You know, if you've ever been there, yeah, it'll wake you up. The Dramamine loses its effect quickly. And then we would start hopping that day. We would start hopping around from relative to relative to relative. And it was exhausting. But I always knew where we would end up. We would get to dinner at Aunt Jean and Uncle Tommy's house. That was the best. That became our base camp for the rest of the trip. That's where we stayed at night. And it was just awesome. No matter how chaotic it got that day, no matter how crazy my grandmother was, I love her dearly, but anyway, let's keep going. I knew we would always get back to their house, you know, and I can smell their house right now. I wish I could make a candle that smelled like their house. It just smelled so good. Good food. My aunt and uncle were just great people. I loved sitting there. And my dad and my uncle loved talking about history, and they talked about one battle to the next. My aunt was sweet as she could be. You could go in the kitchen, get whatever you want, whenever you wanted. It was just easy. It was just easy. Never in a hurry. I don't remember a bad day at their house. I can't tell you how many times I fell asleep in their den on the floor, my belly full, just kicked back and relaxed. Do you have a place like that? Do you have a memory like that? Do you have a place like that right now? When life gets busy, when the trips get long, when the days get long, when everything seems like it's just overwhelming you, do you have a place where you can just stop and catch your breath? Where you don't have to be on? Where you can just be? Now, where we end up here in chapter 10, as you know, Jesus and his disciples, they're on the road. They're on the road to Jerusalem. They're on a long road trip, right? And on that road trip, as you know, Jesus he's ministering to crowds of people. He's caring for whoever comes to him. He's healing. He's teaching. He's sending out his disciples. They're coming back. He's continually training them. So a lot's going on. And in the midst of that, the opposition to Jesus is growing. Tension is building. Every day he gets closer and closer to the cross. And so on this road, along the way, they pull off in a place called Bethany. Now, Bethany became kind of like a home base for them. The Gospels repeatedly bring us back to Bethany, back to the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. We're not exactly sure how many times they visited, if every time they went to Bethany they stayed at their house. We don't know. But what we do know is more than just a stopover, that he loved these people dearly, and they were really some of his closest friends. So that's where we are as we step into this text. Actually, let's just go ahead and read it right now. All right, get my readers. I'm ready. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will never be taken away from her. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we love you. We need you. So would you be a refuge to us today? Would your word just truly satisfy us today? Spirit, would you just stir in us the hunger that's really there? Help us to just set aside everything. Maybe this is the refuge. Maybe this is the base camp. Maybe this is as quiet as it will get this week, today, for most of us. That we would just sit at your feet and listen to you and receive from you and do what only you can do in our hearts and our minds and our lives. We love you so much. Amen. All right, so let's get into this. Verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So Martha welcomes him, right? I mean, she is glad he's there. She loves Jesus. She's so glad he's there, she wants everything to be right. Have you ever been there before? Family coming over, life group coming over, house isn't quite ready, you've run out of places to shove stuff, meal's not ready, people are coming sooner than expected, shame on you. The Norse, we try not to do that to people. We never do that to anybody. It's a safe bet we won't be there early. But, you know, you've been in that situation where maybe you've been looking forward to everybody showing up. Maybe you were excited. The beginning of the day, you're like, man, I can't wait. And then the pressure starts building over the day. You know, you start asking questions like, hey, is this all going to come together? Are people going to enjoy themselves? Will we have enough? Is this going to go exactly right? Will people feel the way we want them to feel? I mean, this is where Martha is. And hey, no pressure. It's just Jesus showing up at her house, right? It's just the disciples showing up. No pressure. But this is where she is. She's got people to care for. She's got things to do, details to manage. She's not doing anything wrong. In fact, she's doing something really good. She's serving. She's a natural of this hospitality stuff. She's great at it. In fact, she wants to honor Jesus with what she's doing. But what Luke is going to show us today, and in this story in particular, is that even good things can take our attention away from the very best thing, right? Martha is so focused on everything that needs to get done that she is starting to miss out on the person that she's doing it for, Jesus. Now that's Martha. Now we get to Mary, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, when it says she sat at the Lord's feet, that's not just like, hey, where was Mary in the room when this was happening? That's actually a phrase or term that really describes the posture of a disciple. Luke is intentional about using that. This is the posture of a disciple, to sit at the feet of Jesus. In Acts 22, it says that Paul was actually educated at the feet of Gamaliel. Okay? So that is a posture of a disciple. It's a posture that says, I want to learn from you. I want to receive from you. I want to put myself, my heart, my mind under your teaching. That's what it means to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Mary seems to do it just as smooth as you could imagine. I mean, she's listening to him. She's paying attention to him. She's hanging on the words that he's speaking. And Jesus welcomes it, right? He welcomes Mary. He teaches her. He wants her to receive it. He makes room for her. Countless times we see this in the gospel that Jesus, although other people would say, hey, you know what, I'm not sure, rabbis don't necessarily bring women into their under their feet. They don't normally do that. It's not culturally appropriate, but Jesus says, I welcome you. Come on, sit at my feet. So she quickly takes the posture of a disciple. And so she's sitting there, right? You can imagine her. She's sitting there. She's dialed in. She's locked in. And Martha, what's Martha up to? She's moving from task to task, right? She's trying to keep everything together. I mean, the meal does have to get ready. Things have to get done. Guests have to be cared for. Can you visualize it? I mean, Mary's sitting there at Jesus' feet, and Martha, you can kind of hear in the background, you know, kind of moving around, some shuffling going on. Maybe she's looking. Maybe she's trying to get eye contact with Mary. Can you imagine sister to sister, like what, can you imagine what Martha's looking like? Like, Mary, where are you? Like, she's trying to get somebody else's, trying to get a disciple. Maybe John, Peter. Who can get Mary's attention? You need to be up here. Right? You can imagine what's going on in her mind. And Luke does this so well. I've told you before, he uses contrast to teach us. So in this contrast, what we're seeing is Martha is focused on what she can offer Jesus. Mary currently is focused on what Jesus can offer her. That's as simple as it can be put. And the tension between those two things is what really builds the story. It's the tension we all live in our own lives. We experience that, right? What am I giving? How do I receive? So I want to be careful here because we could oversimplify this story, and I've heard it before. I don't know if it's necessarily wrong, but things come out, and the focus is more on the personality of Martha or Mary. We need to turn our Martha down and our Mary up. I don't know. Have the hands of Martha, the heart of Mary. I mean, all that's okay. It's not wrong. But hear me, friends. The focus here is on Jesus. Don't dismiss that. The focus is actually on Jesus. The question is, are you going to stop long enough to sit and receive from him? This is not about, are you going to stop serving? Maybe it's about, are you going to stop serving so that you don't feel like you have to always be holding everything together? But this is about Jesus. The focus of this story is Jesus and receiving Jesus and what he has to offer. And I don't know about you, but when I am in a place where I'm operating and serving out of my time with Jesus, out of sitting at his feet, my serving, what comes out, what flows out is so much different. That's why one of our values, the first value we have as a church, is intimacy with God. And that's why mission is not the first thing, because we want to see that our serving and what we put our hands to flows out of the heart that is being fueled by Jesus and Jesus first. Here we go. I would say that I naturally gravitate towards doing stuff, right? I think we probably all do, right? And here's why. A lot of reasons. Just a few. It's easy to measure, right? What'd you do today? I can tell you that. You know, it's measurable. It feels productive. I feel useful when I'm doing something, right? We're all pretty good at that. I would say we're pretty good at managing things, managing kids, managing people, managing work, managing and carrying responsibilities. That's what we tend to do. We wake up and do it. This is what we're doing all day long. But to slow down, to actually slow down and receive, I will be honest, that's harder work for me. That's not my natural tendency. And Mary is doing it. That's exactly what she's doing. She's not trying to prove herself useful right now. Can you imagine? Maybe even some of the disciples are thinking, isn't Mary supposed to be, isn't she supposed to be helping Martha? No, Mary's not worried about whether she looks useful right now. That's pretty wild. She's not wondering, hey, am I impressing anyone right now? That's all off the table. She has taken the posture of a disciple. And she is receiving. So let me ask you a question. How much of your time with Jesus, how much of your time with Jesus is based on you trying to impress him or someone else? How much of your time with Jesus is based on trying to impress him or someone else? How much of your time with Jesus is based on you trying to prove yourself to him or someone else? Mary is receiving. Does your house have to be just right? Do your prayers have to sound just right? Do your Bible answers have to always be just right? Mary doesn't come across as careless. She just is not concerned about anything else right now. She's got the posture of a disciple. She is receiving. She sat at the Lord's feet listening to his teaching. This chamomile's calming me down, guys. Don't do that again. All right, verse 40. But Martha was distracted. I love to say, man, yeah, I got, oh, now that you say it like that with Mary, of course I would want to be like Mary. I want to look like Mary. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. But I might be more like Martha than I realized. Martha was distracted by much serving. With much serving. Like serving now is an issue, much of it. She's distracted. That word distracted means she's being pulled in different directions. We all know what that's like. I mean, we're preparing a meal, managing a home, caring for guests, keeping everything moving. You kind of get the sense that maybe everything was already ready, but she's just trying to, like, let's go up a notch. Let's keep going here. I don't know. I don't want to get past the text here, but you probably can relate to this progression here. She gets pulled in different directions, and then she starts getting frustrated. No, nobody knows what that's like. Maybe you feel like that sometimes, frequently, only on the days when the sun comes up, right? But here it is. She feels alone, not just busy. She feels alone. It says it right there in the text. No one else can do it. Have you ever been there? No one else can do it as well as I can, and then a minute later, why am I by myself? Anybody? No? Here it goes. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I think Jesus is like, send me back to the temple and the Pharisees, okay? Now I'm between two sisters all of a sudden. Do you not care? I'll get back to my notes. Do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? To serve alone, excuse me. I mean, I bet you could hear a pin drop. Everybody stops. Have you fallen into this trap, though, before? When we elevate serving above everything else, we start looking around the room and who's serving? Who's serving like me? And maybe the serving people are more mature. Maybe the people that aren't serving, maybe they're not as mature of a believer. Maybe they don't care as much. That's dangerous, right? We start measuring people. We stop focusing on Jesus. We start measuring people by what they do. Not who they're sitting, not sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's a dangerous place to be. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Now, at this point in the conversation, and Jesus is tracking with her, she's like, we're past the dinner prep. This conversation is way deeper now. This is more personal. She's like, hey, can't you see what I'm carrying here, guys? Can't you see how much I'm doing? Does anybody see this? Can anybody relate? You keep showing up. You keep carrying responsibilities. You keep taking care of people. And after a while, you start asking, does anybody notice what I'm doing? Can anybody see this? Do you know how tired I am? Lord, aren't you going to send somebody to help me? And why isn't the person right here helping me? All right, enough of that. Mary comes to receive from Jesus, and Martha has come so far, and now she's telling Jesus what to do. That's interesting. She's demanding. I've done that before, though, right? Have you? You come with your plans. You like, I got my solutions figured out. I've got my ideas. I know how this is supposed to work. But underneath all of that that's brewing in my head and heart, there's a fear. There's a fear that this may not work out. The dinner may not be perfect. I don't know if I've ever thought about that, but I mean, you know, in your situation, hey, this may not work out. It may not work out the way it was supposed to. What if this falls apart? How am I going to look? That's what happens when everything depends on me. That's where Martha is. That's where many of us actually live. Martha comes to Jesus with all of it, though. I love it. And he doesn't push her away. In fact, he does the opposite. I mean, she's a hot mess. Right? Can we just say it? She's come to the right place, though. She is right where she needs to be with all this she's carrying. She doesn't realize that what Jesus is offering her is way better than what she's asking him to do. Let me ask you right now, do you believe Jesus can do that for you today? Do you believe that he can offer you more than you're actually asking for right now? Where you are right now, do you believe it? But the Lord answered her, hear this, Martha, Martha. Oh, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Now, Jesus says her name not once, but twice. Now, how do you hear that? Martha, Martha. I don't even know how I'm not. You know what I'm saying? Like, Martha, Martha. Jonathan, Jonathan. No, no. It's not with irritation. It's actually used throughout Scripture. When a name is spoken twice, it's actually intimate. It's personal. It's God is drawing near to the person. It is Martha, Martha. Jesus has now come alongside her. And before he corrects and connects with her, he wants her to feel loved and seen. Martha, Martha. And then he goes below the surface, right? Then he describes exactly what's stirring in her heart and mind. You're anxious and troubled about many things. See, Martha's problem's not a busy afternoon. Her heart's racing, her mind's racing, she's restless, she's carrying more than she was meant to carry. And Jesus doesn't condemn it at all, he just says that this is what's going on. One thing quickly becomes many things, doesn't it? Just like that. I borrowed a cordless hedge trimmer from my neighbor a week or two ago. And he's like, man, that battery will run, you'll run out before the battery does. So I was like, okay. He's got a battery car, battery this, battery that. Okay, all right. I was like, I'm just going to use it for a few minutes. I'm just going to knock the top off this hedge right here. That thing is awesome, man. So I knock the top off, and then I'm like, what if I shape this? Oh, what about the holly? What about the trellis? What if the trellis does this where the holly does that? And then what about, I mean, 4 hours later, I'm sitting there like, man, whew, one thing became many things, just like that. That's exactly where Martha is. That's exactly where we are sometimes. One thing, he says, though, one thing's necessary. Just kind of cuts out the noise. One thing's necessary. Not because the other things don't matter, because there's something going on underneath all of the many things that are going on in your life that matters more than anything. Something so central that when it's out of place, everything else in your life seems out of place. Do you feel that sometimes? Like, why is everything out of place? It's because Jesus is not front and center. And that's why Jesus does the most loving thing. He brings Martha back to himself. This is where you need to be. This is the one thing. How's your heart right now? Is it crowded? How's your mind right now? Is it crowded right now with many things? Jesus is saying this to you today. There's one thing. One thing is necessary. One and only one thing. And Jesus is not against Martha. She's not trying to get between two sisters. He's actually for her, right? He wants her to experience what Mary is currently experiencing. His presence, his teaching, his peace. He's saying, Martha, come, enjoy. And he's inviting us to do the same right now. Do you believe that? Do you believe he's inviting you? He's like, I can't solve all the hundreds of things that are on your list. Jonathan, they're going to be there until you're in a pine box, just to be honest. But here's the one thing you need. Here is the one thing. Put it all down and come sit at my feet. Mary has chosen, keep going. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will never be taken away from her. Oh, man. Now, Martha probably, she hears portion, and she's like, okay, I've heard that before. That's common throughout the Old Testament. That's a reference when they're talking about portion, they're talking about inheritance. They're talking about satisfaction, like a deep satisfaction. When they talk about portion, it's like, this will sustain me. So all throughout the Old Testament, we hear portion, and we're like, okay, that matters. In Deuteronomy 8, we hear, and Jesus actually uses it. When Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, Satan says, hey, turn these stones into bread. What does Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, right? But by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And you guys are like, man, it would have been cooler with a lightsaber though, right? Jesus and Satan out there in the wilderness, like a lightsaber or, I mean, something else, a blow dart. I don't know. Wouldn't it have been cooler? But what he's saying is, all the temptations that you've not been able to resist before, Jesus walks away from it by the strength and the power of the Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. All throughout the Psalms, this phrase, "the Lord is my portion," is spoken. The Lord is my portion. In fact, Psalm 16 might be more appropriate to this text than ever. The Lord is my chosen portion. He is my cup. Not just He gives me things, He is the gift. Think about it. In this text right now, Jesus is sitting in Martha's house. The Word made flesh. The living Word is speaking right now in Martha's house. The Son of God has come near to them. The true bread from heaven is here right now, is there right now in that moment. And He's saying, Mary has chosen the good portion. She's chosen me. That's the heart of this whole passage. That is the big idea for today. She has chosen the good portion. The deepest need in Martha's house is not a perfect meal. The deepest need in her house is Jesus. The deepest need in our lives right now is Jesus. Beneath all the striving, there's a deeper hunger that can only be satisfied by Him. And this promise matters. Hear it. He says this. It's not just the good portion. It says it will not be taken away from her. It's not just it's good. It's good and it's lasting and it cannot be taken away. Think about everything else in your life. It's going to go. Your furniture, your kids are going to paint over it. They're going to sell it. They're going to go buy something cheap at IKEA. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's just keep going. I mean, it's all going to go. Everything is going to go. Nothing lasts. Things are changing constantly. Do you feel it? Do you feel that? Because right here, be encouraged. Jesus says, this will never go away. Christ remains. Knowing Him matters. Walking with Him matters. Receiving Him is something that cannot be taken away from you, no matter what tomorrow looks like in your life. No matter what's going on in your life, this cannot be taken away. The good portion is here. The world's telling you, I mean, I think it's like down to two options, right? You do less or do more, right? I'm like, there's always like some way, hey, you got to do more or do less, you know, just figure it out. Organize your life. Simplify your life. Work harder. Slow down. I don't know. Jesus is simply saying, I've got the solution. It's me. I am the good portion. The good portion is sitting there. The good portion, Jesus, is in the room right now. He's on His way to the cross. He's on His way to give Himself fully for us so we can receive all of Him. The portion, the good portion. His gift is Jesus. And He's here. And He's in Him. And He's for us, y'all. Do you believe that? He is for you today. And it is Father's Day. So let me circle back. Let me encourage you men for a minute. Your family needs Jesus more than it needs you. Right? Your family needs Jesus more than they need you, more than they need your paycheck, your plans, your ability to hold everything together. And here's the good news. Jesus is the Savior of your family. You are not. Please resign today. I don't know if you can resign from a job that never was yours, but do it. It will free you up to do what you've been called to do, which is to abide in Him, to draw near to Him, to come and sit at His feet, to keep receiving, to keep listening to Him. Friends, if you are in Christ, men, listen. Jesus is already in you. Do you know that? Jesus is camped out in your heart. He's built a fire. Are you sitting there with Him today, right now? He's not wanting to be a guest that just passes through your life on Sunday. All right. He's there. He's not going anywhere. Men, and this applies to everybody, but men today, will you slow down? Because he's there. Will you slow down long enough to hear him, to listen to him, to receive what he has for you and for your life? To listen to him enough to understand who God is and who you are because of what he has done for you. Do you know that this is true? That you are more loved than you realize. That you're more secure than you could possibly give security for your own self. You are secure in him. You're a son of God. You're a child of the King. You are a man that Jesus died for. And you are a man in whom the Spirit says, I want to dwell in you. That is powerful, friends. You have a Father, a heavenly Father. No matter what happened down here, no matter what you haven't gotten, or what your dad did right, what he did wrong, your heavenly Father will never fail you. He never will. You don't have to carry everything. You don't have to prove everything. You don't have to hold everything together. The one that holds all things together, Jesus, is holding you. He's working inside of you. Come sit with him. Draw near to him. Follow him. Your family does not need a perfect man. Your family needs a man that needs Jesus. And he's there for you. He is your portion. Your family needs you to only have one thing and one thing only, and that is Jesus. If you don't know him today, I would love to share more with you. If you're hearing this and you're like, I would like to know more. I want to know what it looks like to follow him. We'd love to share with you. Me, Josh, Johnny, there's going to be a prayer team over here later. Please don't leave today without letting us share more about Jesus. Now, as we come to the table, here's the irony of this story. Martha was worried about preparing a meal for Jesus, and Jesus has come to feed her, right? She's worried about being a good host. Jesus is actually the host. Jesus is welcoming people. Jesus is providing what they need most. He's the one inviting Martha to come sit down and receive. Luke doesn't tell us it's a short story, like what happened next. I want to believe that Martha heard Jesus. Martha, Martha. And she heard it. And her shoulders just like lifted. Like the weight came off her shoulders. Like maybe for the first time that day or first time in a long time, she lets go. She relaxes. She takes a deep breath. I want to believe Martha comes over, sits beside Mary, and sits at the feet of Jesus. It's not my story. But that's our story. We come to the table today, not because we got it all right, not because we got 100 things under control, because we got the one thing that he has given us. He has given a place for us at his feet today. And so we come to receive. We come to receive the one who went to the cross, whose body was nailed to a criminal's cross, whose blood was shed for us so that we, my anxious, weary, striving self, could come home to God and experience him and live with him. I want you to do something for me before we go to the table. I want you to just do this for me. Would you say your name twice? I want you, before you do it, I want you to envision Jesus staring at Martha right now. She's looking at Martha. How would he say your name when he speaks it? Would you just say your name twice out loud? Just say your name out loud twice. Do it again. One more time. Jonathan, Jonathan, this is what Jesus is saying to you. You have me. You have the good portion. So come. Come to the table and receive and remember and rest in me. Let's pray. So you are so good, and you are so worthy, and you are the good portion. Thank you for all you have done. Thank you for what you are doing. That we get to sit at your feet, Lord, because of what you have done. Thank you for your goodness to us. May we receive you today fresh and be reminded that you are truly the one thing we need. Amen.